on your browser. But anyway, from USA Today, Fort Worth shooting, police condemn Officer Aaron Dean. Well, good. Yes, you should. A white officer's, and let's get past the racial aspect of this, okay? Let's drop the race part of this. Because this is a jumpy white cop, but you know what? There's jumpy black cops, okay? There's jumpy brown cops. There's jumpy red cops. There's jumpy cops from every race or religion you can imagine, okay? We don't need, this is already a tragedy. This is already an unspeakable, avoidable tragedy. And what we don't need is the click me, click me, click me news media. The clickbait news media trying to gin up racial outrage on top of this. I understand it's a white police officer who shot a black woman, okay? He did not know who he was shooting. Let's keep that in mind. He did not know who he was shooting. Maybe he had some idea based on the neighborhood that he's in, but he did not know who he was shooting. He never actually saw the person he shot until after she was dead. So the fact that he is a white police officer is not that material to this story, unless you want to make that argument that this is somehow racism or white supremacy or whatever it is. I have no time for that because that's not the issue here. The issue here is a complete failure to properly train and prepare this police officer to do his job. A white officer's fatal shooting of a black woman through a window in her home as she played video games with her nephew has eroded the trust we have built with the community, interim Fort Worth Police Chief Ed Krause said Tuesday. Officer Aaron Dean was arrested Monday evening on a murder charge and freed hours later on $200,000 bond. The charge was filed less than 3 days after Dean, who resigned from the force Monday, shot Adetania Jefferson, my apologies, I got to get this name right, shot Adetania Jefferson, 28, while responding to a neighbor's call that her door was open late at night. So here's what happens. Adetania Jefferson's neighbor sees that the front door of her house is open, and there doesn't seem to be anyone around. There's no lights on that he can see. You know, there's no movement. So he calls the police, and they send out Aaron Dean to investigate. Aaron Dean pulls up, sees that the door is open, and starts walking around the perimeter of the house with a flashlight, shining the light in windows with his gun drawn, trying to figure out what's going on. When he sees movement, Adetania Jefferson's in her house. She doesn't know that her door is open, obviously. And she sees this flashlight. She sees this movement outside her window. She's like, what the heck is going on? Right? So she gets up. Officer Dean sees her and says, Fort Worth Police, as he pulls the trigger. If you've seen the video has been everywhere. You know exactly what happened here. I can try and pull up the video for you because we have that capability here. It's probably surrounded by a bunch of nonsense, as these things tend to be. Outrage at officer who fatally shot woman. The body cam is out there. You can find the body cam easily enough. And it will confirm. Okay, here we go. Police body cam footage and 911 call from Texas shooting. This is what happened. This is how this officer chose to handle this situation. And I am on the wrong thing once again. Hang on a second. Let me push that button. There we go. He's walking around outside the house right now.
Put your hands up. Show me your hands.
So there you have it. There you have. So here we go. I'm going to play this again. He's got his flashlight. He's creeping around outside the house. Flashlight in one hand, gun in the other. Looks like he's in the backyard of the house now.
Put your hands hands up. Show me your hands.
And there you go. Put your hands up. Show me your hands as he is pulling the trigger. Put your hands up. Show me your hands as he is pulling the trigger. Who even has the opportunity to respond in that situation? Nobody. This is Interim Police Chief Ed Krause said there was absolutely no excuse for the shooting and pleaded with the community not to let the actions of one officer reflect on the entire force of almost 1,700. Quote, "We understand your frustration and disappointment," he said. "I, too, am frustrated and disappointed about what occurred, that officer's actions. We never want an officer response to a call to result in the loss of life." So, Adiana Jones doesn't even know what's going on. She doesn't know where doors are. Adiana Jefferson doesn't even know what's going on. She doesn't know where doors are. She doesn't know that her neighbor has called the police and there's a cop creeping around outside her house. All she knows is that there's somebody out there with a flashlight. She gets up and she's like, "What are you doing?" He says, "Put your hands up," as he pulls the trigger. This is a failure of training. This is a complete failure of training. Officer Aaron Dean was unfit to be on the street. 100% unfit to be on the street. 100% unfit to be responding to this call. Because his reaction is to say, "Put your hands up," as he pulls the trigger. That is a training failure. And it doesn't matter, again, if he's white, black, red, yellow, doesn't matter. He has not been trained properly. And over again, we see these situations. In a large number of these shootings, I don't know what the exact statistical breakdown of it is, but in a large number of these shootings, we have a police officer alone. And in a number of these shootings, we've had young police officers. And clearly they are afraid. Clearly they have not been trained properly. This officer has not been trained properly. Somebody, I don't know if it was Krause, and I haven't been able to find a print version of the quote, but somebody, I think it was Krause, said during a press event, either Monday night or yesterday, that they need to get over the video game mentality that trainees bring to the police department. And he basically said, playing video games has taught this generation to shoot first and talk later. I don't know that I buy that. Maybe. Maybe not. But if you as a law enforcement officer believe that that is an issue, then my question is, what are you doing to address this? Tatiana Jefferson is dead because they failed to train this officer properly. And because this officer should not have been sent out by himself to deal with this. And I don't understand why they are sending police out alone on these kinds of calls, especially a young police officer. There should be a minimum of two responding to these calls. And I know budget cutbacks, we can't afford it. Well, you know what? We cannot afford to have innocent people getting shot to death in front of their nephews because some cop doesn't follow protocol, because that cop was not trained properly. We can't have that. The life of Tatiana Jefferson is worth sending a second officer out on calls like this the way that we did back in the day. And this is one of the big changes that has happened. And this is one of the problems that, again, our leaders don't talk about. Okay? We have too many police officers by themselves responding to situations that they have not been sufficiently trained to handle. Now, ultimately, this goes back to a training problem. And you've heard the audio now. Put your hands up, bang. You couldn't react fast enough to stop that guy from shooting you. He's saying put your hands up because he's been told to say it. His first instinct, his first reaction is to shoot. Oh, I got to say something. Put your hands up. Bang. As he's pulling the trigger, he's saying, put your hands up. That is a failure of training. And that needs to go back. You need to investigate the police academy. You need to investigate whoever trained Officer Dean. Officer Dean, obviously, needs to go to trial. And Officer Dean is probably going to be convicted of manslaughter. And he's going to be convicted of manslaughter because he was not trained properly. And because he was put in a situation that he was ill-prepared to handle. You can't put the tax, but you can't put the chief in jail for not sending a second cop out. You can't put the police academy in jail for failing to train this guy. But maybe you should. At the very least, there is going to be a very expensive wrongful death suit filed against the Fort Worth Police Department, which, if they are wise, they will not contest. They will not fight. Just give them whatever money they want. And maybe think about putting a second police officer in the car for calls like this. So that the police are communicating with each other and feel a little more secure in the situation and are making sure that the proper rules are followed and that they're not sneaking around in somebody's backyard with a flashlight and then opening fire almost without warning when they see some movement in the house. 100% avoidable. There's an interview tonight on CBS with the gentleman who called to report the door being open. That guy's heartbroken. He feels responsible for Tatiana Jones losing her life, or Tatiana Jefferson, excuse me, losing her life. Because if he hadn't called the police, she'd be alive right now. Because they sent out the cop who hadn't been trained. That is the issue. I don't care that it's a white cop, okay? And this is where you make a mistake with this story. If you say this is about a white cop, then you're forgetting about all the other cops that weren't properly trained. He's not the only one. He was part of a class. He was part of a graduating class of cadets. And if he didn't get the right training, nobody got the right training. Either that or this guy got passed along even though he failed. That's a possibility. I doubt it. But that's a possibility. It happens in some cases. People who are connected, make sure my kid gets through the program. Make sure my kid gets the job. That does not seem to be the case here. This is a complete and utter failure to train a police officer. Untrained police officers walking around our communities with loaded guns are a danger to our society. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying they're not trying to do the right thing. I'm saying they are a danger to our society. Training is meant to help you react in dangerous situations. And if your immediate reaction to danger is to start firing without having any idea of who you're shooting at, then that training has failed, and those police are a danger to our society. So whatever's going on down there in Fort Worth with the police training, you got to fix that. And you got to investigate that. You got to find out who trained this guy. And you got to check everybody else who was in his class and find out if they were trained appropriately. Because we can't have this. Okay? This isn't racist cop. This isn't fed up racist cop. This isn't Fort Apache, the Bronx. This isn't fed up racist cop, corrupt cop, shooting drug dealers. This isn't fed up racist cop shooting minorities because he's sick and tired of dealing with them. This is murder by lack of training. Here's your gun. Here's your badge. Go answer that call, will you? That's what happened. That's what happened. We cannot have this. We cannot have this. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. If you've been following the news lately, you may have heard about China. You may have heard about Hong Kong. I have not gotten into the Hong Kong protests. Because if I'm honest about it, because I know what the outcome here is. Okay. I have a limited amount of time every week, and I try to pick stories that are relevant to your life personally, immediately, in a meaningful way, and stories that may offer something interesting. Stories that may turn out in an unexpected way. We know what the end game is in Hong Kong. Okay? We know how this turns out. If you are old enough to remember Tiananmen Square, you know what the end game in Hong Kong is. And so do the Hong Kong protesters, I might add, which is why they are not occupying a square anywhere, which is why they are not setting up protest camps, because they know what the end game of that is. The tanks roll in and everyone who is in the square disappears and is never heard from again. We know why that is. It's because they're no longer with us. Hong Kong, for those who have not been following, is an island off the coast of China. It is Chinese territory. It has always been Chinese territory. But for a certain period of time, for 99 years, from 1898 to 1997, Hong Kong was controlled by the United Kingdom. It was controlled by Great Britain. And it was controlled by Great Britain because Great Britain was selling opium in China, because opium was making them a lot of money. And the Chinese government did not like that their people were getting addicted to opium. So they sent some ships out to take away the opium. The English responded by unleashing the world's greatest navy on the Chinese, who had no idea what was coming. They soundly defeated the Chinese in two battles, two wars, known as the Opium Wars. And as part of the Tonkin Treaty, were given basically a 99-year lease on Hong Kong. Here you go. It's yours. You move everything into Hong Kong, and then from Hong Kong, it flows into mainland China. And it made both sides happy. The Brits had their means of importing things, and the Chinese had the Brits off the mainland. So in that sense, it's a good treaty. Under British rule, Hong Kong flourished. Hong Kong has more skyscrapers, more urban development, more people, more wealthy people than any other place on this planet. It is a center of imports, exports, banking, business. Hong Kong is part of the economic heart of this planet. In the same way that New York makes this planet run, in the same way that London makes this planet run, in the same way that Berlin makes this planet run, Hong Kong makes this planet run. Hong Kong is the nexus between the Asian markets and the European markets. So when the treaty ran out in 1997, Great Britain gave Hong Kong back to China. That was the agreement. And they had built it up, and Hong Kong was flourishing. China said, we're going to set up two governments, right? Because China looked at Hong Kong, and they said, you know what? We really want you to be us. You are us. We know it's been 100 years, and you're 99 years, and you don't think you're us anymore, but you're us. You're part of China. You've always been part of China. But Hong Kong is making so much money. The China looks at it and says, all right, we're going to set up two governments, okay? You are going to be like a territory of China. You're going to have special status. So you get to have your own government. We have our own government. You run things the way you want to run them. We'll run our government the way that we want to. Everybody's happy. And everybody was happy for about 2 years until China started saying, well, you know, we'd like it if you did this, and we'd like it if you did that. And the people in Hong Kong were like, wait a minute, we're our own thing over here. And the Chinese said, You're your own thing over there as long as we say you're your own thing over there. Ultimately, you're us. We're in control now, and we can change the terms of the deal. So amongst the young in Hong Kong, over the last several years, there has been a growing secessionist movement. And that's what this is, okay? Hong Kong is part of China. You understand nothing about what is going on over there if you don't understand this basic reality. Hong Kong is part of China. And the agreement with Britain that lasted for 99 years did not give Hong Kong sovereignty, did not give Hong Kong any promise of sovereignty, did not give Hong Kong any pathway to sovereignty. It was always going to end the same way. In 1997, Hong Kong gets handed back to China, and China gets to decide what to do with it. So, the young in Hong Kong have been upset at the new rules that China has put in, because China is China. China is an immovable object. And as far as China is concerned, their way of doing things is the best way of doing things. And they don't care what anybody else in the world has to say about it. We are China. We have the most population. We have the biggest market. We have all the money now. We have the power. We have the influence. We don't care what anybody else thinks. We're going to do what we want to do, and if you don't like it, you can go kick rocks. So China has been eroding the two-government deal. And earlier this year, the Hong Kong Parliament was going to pass a measure strongly encouraged by China that would have allowed people arrested for protesting against China or saying things about the Chinese government to be extradited to mainland China. The people saying things about the Chinese government in Hong Kong did not like this because they know how that ends. That ends with you in a cell being tortured, possibly killed, possibly worked to death. They like being on Hong Kong and having freedom of speech and being able to say China sucks without any consequences. China said, yeah, we've had enough of that. We're not going to do that anymore because we see a rising secessionist movement in Hong Kong. So they tried to get this law passed, and there were immediately massive protests. Okay, this is how the protests began. And the protests started to get a little violent. And ultimately, Hong Kong, the government said, you know what? We are going to suspend this. We're not going to pass the law. We're going to deal with it internally. If somebody's arrested for saying something bad about China, it's our problem. We're not going to send you to China. Don't worry about it. It's done. By that point, it was too late because the young people had organized and the secessionist movement was gaining steam. So what began as a protest against this one law has now evolved into a call for freedom from China. This is what the Hong Kong protesters are looking for. They want independence from China. And as I said, you understand nothing about this story if you don't understand that Hong Kong is part of China. Oh, and by the way, it is the wealthiest, most successful part of China. China is not going to let Hong Kong go. There is no political solution for that. Acts of violence are going to be met by acts of violence. We know how China deals with these kinds of situations. So this has all been going on, and most people have been smart enough, either because they know what the end game is or because they understand a bit about what's happening here. Most people have been smart enough to stay out of it. Not so the National Basketball Association. Daryl Morey, who is the general manager of the Houston Rockets, basically put out a tweet supporting the Hong Kong protesters. There was another incident around the same time where a young man from Hong Kong who had just won a video game tournament sponsored by Blizzard, the Hearthstone tournament, was doing a live stream after the tournament was over. And they were talking to him about his win. And at the end of it, he put on a mask and expressed his solidarity with the Hong Kong protest movement. China was not happy about that. In the case of Blizzard, they basically, well, we don't know. What we do know is that Blizzard Entertainment banned this young man for life, or banned this young man for a year from competition, took his prize money away, and banned the two people who broadcast this for life from ever working with Blizzard. There was a massive backlash in the United States, and they have since, out of the kindness of their hearts, said that the fact that Tencent Holdings, a Chinese company, owns 10% of Activision had nothing to do with their decision, which no one believes. And out of the goodness of their hearts, they decided to give the prize money back to this young man from Hong Kong and only ban him for 6 months instead of a year. Isn't that generous? The China walks in and says, hey, and Blizzard says, oh, no, we got it. It's under control. In the case of the NBA, Daryl Morey's tweet took place while the preseason exhibition games were going on in China. And LeBron James was over in China taking part in those games. China immediately severed its financial ties with the NBA, canceled all broadcasts of the games. I don't know if they let people attend the games or not. From the coverage that I've seen, it looks like if you had tickets to the games, you could still go. But overnight, NBA merchandise disappeared from all stores in China. Chinese company endorsement deals with the NBA, gone. Chinese financial support for the NBA, gone. Done over a single tweet. LeBron James spoke out on this. And this is where we join the story from Yahoo Sports. Basketball superstar LeBron James was accused of turning a blind eye to Chinese repression on Tuesday after he criticized a Houston Rockets executive for angering China with a misinformed tweet supporting protesters in Hong Kong. James told reporters that Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, quote, wasn't educated on Hong Kong and should have kept his mouth shut. That's not what he said, by the way. Whoever wrote this is misrepresenting LeBron James' tweet. I think the actual tweet is in this article somewhere. It's in one of the articles I read. But he didn't tell him to keep his mouth shut. It was far more reasonable than that, what LeBron said. So, again, fake news. If they're trying to get an emotional reaction out of you, you know what it is. The outspoken Lakers forward waded into a charged debate that other high-profile NBA figures have shied away from. Quote, so many people could have been harmed not only financially, but physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So just be careful with what we tweet and we say and we do, James told reporters when asked for comment in Los Angeles after returning from the NBA's annual China tour. His remarks drew praise from Chinese social media users who have savaged Morey for butting into the country's affairs, but the U.S. reaction on Twitter was swift and harsh. Twitter, burn it down. King James, you are parroting communist propaganda. China is running torture camps, and you know it, said Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska, old enough to know better, referring to China's reported incarceration of up to 1 million Muslim Uyghurs in prison-like camps. Look, I don't know that LeBron James knows that. I don't know that LeBron James is paying attention to much beyond basketball. Okay? I think you're jumping to some conclusions here, Senator Sasse. The backlash in China against Morey's comments has cast a cloud over the NBA's lucrative broadcasting, merchandising, and sponsorship interests in the country, where it has legions of fans. But the NBA is also under pressure from U.S. politicians and media outlets who have urged the league not to buckle under the Chinese criticism. Following his initial comments to reporters, James, who has a lucrative lifetime endorsement deal with Nike, which does big business in China, attempted to clarify his stance with a pair of subsequent tweets. Quote, "Let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of Maury's tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that," he wrote. James's Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets were thrust into the whirlwind when they arrived in China last week for a pair of preseason exhibition games after Maury had tweeted, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." The former British colony, we've been through all of this. James complained in his subsequent tweets on Tuesday that Maury's comments put the Lakers through a difficult week in China. Twitter users pounced, saying acidly that Hong Kong's demonstrators and China's Uyghurs also were having a difficult week. Ha ha ha, look at how clever I am. Shut up, Twitter. Honestly, shut up, Twitter. And stop. The big problem we have with the media is they're enabling Twitter. All these morons on Twitter who are like, "Oh, the Uyghurs had a bad week too, LeBron James." Stop. Because what you have is a bunch of people who have no idea what's going on, commenting on something they don't understand. And guess what? Unlike most of the social media nonsense that goes on, where you can just tweet whatever you want and nobody cares and it doesn't matter, this has consequences. And this is how social media got to the point where it is as out of control as it is. Because you go on social media and you can say anything you want. And not only can you find people who will agree with you, but there are no consequences for any of it. You can sit there all day long and make stuff up. And most people are going to look at it and be like, "You know what? I know this guy's lying about me, but do I really have 5 years to take and the money to take this through the courts? To get a finding against this guy who lives in his basement and has nothing?" There's no consequences. As I said, China is an immovable object. And as I said, Hong Kong is part of China. And if you don't understand that, then you don't understand the story. China is not an occupying force in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is China. And in the eyes of China, these young people who are calling for the liberation of Hong Kong are secessionists. They're like the people in California, upset that Donald Trump got elected president, who want to secede from the United States. They're like the French Canadians in Montreal, who tried several times to secede from Canada. They are secessionists. They are trying to break up the country. And China is trying to put this down with a minimum of violence. In China's eyes, and I don't know how much truth there is to this, but in China's eyes, and since they're the government and they have the police and they have the military and they're the ones that matter, in their eyes, when an American comes out and speaks in favor of the liberation of Hong Kong or revolution in Hong Kong, that is an act of incitement. Because the one thing that the protesters in Hong Kong really want is international acknowledgement. In particular, they want the acknowledgement of the United States of America. Because I think some of them believe that we're going to come in there with our guns and our tanks and rescue Hong Kong. It's never going to happen. But in the eyes of the Chinese government, which again, I'm not defending the Chinese, by the way, okay? The Chinese have a horrible record on human rights. We all know this, okay? This shouldn't be news to anybody. But the Chinese are trying to avoid another Tiananmen Square. They're trying to avoid having to roll tanks and soldiers into Hong Kong and violently put down a rebellion. So when an American comes along, when the general manager of the Houston Rockets, basketball's huge in China before this, huge. when the general manager of the Houston Rockets comes along and says, hey, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. First of all, this is one of those look at me Twitter moments. Look at me, I'm with the Hong Kong protesters. This is not a moment for your celebrity. This is not a moment for building your brand. What you've actually done in the eyes of the Chinese government, who are the only ones that matter in this story, what you've actually done is incited further violence so that you could get some likes on Twitter. And LeBron James is correct. And all the people sitting around saying, oh, you're parroting Chinese propaganda. Oh, you're just upset because you lost your endorsement deal. Well, you know what? Maybe that's his reason. Maybe LeBron hasn't thought, you know, two or three levels down on this. But he is correct that Morley is tweeting just to virtue signal. Just say, I support Hong Kong. Like my tweets. Like me on Facebook. Like me on Instagram. I'm with Hong Kong. So his little Twitter stunt, which is meaningless to him, by the way, I don't think he has any deep connections to Hong Kong. The kid that won the Hearthstone tournament, different story. Because that kid's from Hong Kong. And he's supporting the protesters. That's a problem for China. Because here you have a young man using a global channel to spread the message. Also incitement, as far as China is concerned. So what does China do? They pull the plug. They're like, nope, we're done with the NBA. Goodbye. We're pulling out our money. No more basketball in China. Yao Ming may come along and rescue this at some point. But for now, no basketball in China. The NBA is going to be out $1 billion on this. I don't know where they're going to get that money back from. The individual athletes who had endorsements from Chinese companies, those are gone. Nike's going to be out money. Because the people who are on Twitter saying things don't understand what it means when they say these things. They don't understand that they are inciting violence, that they are encouraging the protesters. And the more you encourage the protesters, the more you invite the lethal response from China. That's what China wants to avoid. And China doesn't want to avoid that because they care about the people of Hong Kong. Let's be very clear about that. China wants to avoid that because it's a bad look. It's bad optics for China when they murder their own people in the name of preserving their version of order. But after a few thousand years of civilization, guess what version of order is going to survive? This is a case where social media posts have actual consequences and actually cost dollars and cents, and it's visible. And you're going to hear about this in the NBA season. You're going to hear about the money that they've lost from China. And you're going to hear the people on Twitter, well, you got to stop cowering to China. No, my friend, that's not how this works. We have to get along with China, whether we like what they do or not. Because if China were to turn its military eye toward the United States, we would not last very long. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at what the Pentagon puts out about China every single year. Our military is more terrified of China than any place else on this planet. Because they know China has the capability to wipe us away. And China would have the political will to do it. So it behooves us to not virtue signal on Twitter and incite additional protests, and it's because what happens is the kids in Hong Kong see it and they're like, hey, the NBA is on our side now. We love basketball, and now the basketball players are all on our side. Let's go protest some more. Like, it's turning in our favor. We're gonna win. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not to dash your dreams of sovereignty and freedom and revolution. But if you stay on the path that you are on in Hong Kong, we know what the outcome is. If you want freedom, you get out of Hong Kong. Because you're not going to get it in Hong Kong. The best you are going to get is this, you know, separate but equal government deal that Hong Kong and the mainland have. Because there was never any promise that you would get sovereignty. There was never any guarantee of that. And this is why, when people say, keep your politics out of sports, keep your politics out of the movies, keep your politics, this is what we're talking about. Sooner or later, somebody says something, and there are actual consequences. And by the way, this is just an example where the consequences are visible. Okay? Because every time some athlete gets political, or some executive gets political, or some movie star gets political, you know what happens? The same thing. The same exact thing happens. Only it's not China taking $1 billion and walking away. It is hundreds and thousands of Americans, maybe millions of Americans, who are fed up with politics being shoved into everything. Who are fed up with being called white supremacists or man babies or racist or sexist or gayist or homophobe or Nazi or whatever word is floating around right now. They're sick of it. And you know what they're doing? They're tuning you out. And they're taking your money away. Everybody sits around and they say, why is attendance down at the games? Why are the ratings down for television? Where is everybody gone? They're sick of you. Because you can't just sit back and do your job anymore. Right? Everything's got to be all politics all the time. Listen, if you want to be all politics all the time, plenty of radio stations around the country. There's infinite bandwidth for podcasts. Come join me. I'm not saying you can't lend your voice in support of a cause. If you sincerely, I look at George Clooney, all right? Mad respect for George Clooney. Jane Fonda got arrested in a climate protest last Friday. She's probably going to get arrested again this Friday. Mad props, because she actually knows what she's talking about. And she actually believes in the cause. She's not just out there for an Instagram moment. All of this nonsense, all this virtue signaling, all this stupidity on social media carries actual consequences. This is a case where you can see it. And all the people howling about, oh, it's not American. You have to stand up for freedom and human rights. Yeah, we do in our own country. All right. When it comes to China, and when it comes to wading into a potential violent conflict on the island of Hong Kong that could be avoided, no. No, we don't need to wade into that. And we would do well to stay away from it, so that it can de-escalate quietly and hopefully without a tremendous loss of life, because we know what the alternative is. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. I am Derek Gary. When we come back, my favorite things from the past week, the strangest thing from the past week, here on WMFO Medford.
Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year, starring Donald Pleasance.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Halloween, the night he came home. Rated R.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. About 12 minutes left in the show. 855-915-9636. The telephone number on the towel, Mikey D, is what's coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight. Time now for What's Hot, my favorite thing from the past week. And it is fall. It is October. It is Halloween. It is the Halloween season, and you know what that means. The Monster Cereals are back. Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Booberry, they're all back on the shelves. No sign, once again, of Fruit Brute or Yummy Mummy. Yummy Mummy just gets no love from the General Mills people. Why won't you bring back Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy? Everybody just keeps asking for them year after year, and we never ever get them. But the main Monster cereals are back, and that's great, right? They got marshmallows. They got monsters. It's been a holiday tradition since about 1971. It's the same great taste you grew up with. Only the box art isn't quite as cool as it used to be. Anyway, you don't have to go to Target to get the stuff this year. It's everywhere. You can go to your favorite local supermarket. Probably not that Whole Foods, where the ass is silent. I don't think they sell sugary cereal in there, but any normal supermarket not run by Amazon that you walk into will have this. In addition, they've got a thing, they've got a website this year called monstercarving.com, monstercarving.com, and you can go there and you can download PDFs of stencils so that you can carve your Halloween pumpkin to look like your favorite character from the Monster cereals. So that's monstercarving.com. That's General Mills. That's the Monster cereals. Yeah, go get some. It's a nice way to celebrate Halloween and the coming end of the year. And this is not doing... There we go. You press the button enough times, and sooner or later, something is going to happen. That's the thing that happened. The strangest story from the past week. We're in a different location this time. Tennessee. Most people keep it in their sock, you know. Jared Audie, 19 and apparently not old enough to know better, needed some money. For what? We do not know. So he went to his grandmother's house and asked for some. When she said no, Audie pushed her onto a bed, lifted up her dress, and pulled $10 out of her underwear. He now faces felony robbery charges and is being held on $10,000 bail. During his jail time, perhaps he can answer these questions. Why does grandma keep 10 bucks in her undies? And how did he know it was there? That second one is the one that's going to keep me up tonight. We are at the end of the show. Programming note, once again, 2 weeks from tonight, Halloween extravaganza. I will be here from 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock talking... great Halloween music, playing great Halloween music. Maybe we'll do some horror movie stuff. I haven't put it all together yet, but I know we're going to have a lot of great Halloween music for you to enjoy. Spooky cuts, spooky previews, scary stuff, stuff for the kids. Usually started off friendly for the family, and then as the night goes on, it will get darker and darker and darker. Another story. from this past week. And I don't know. I don't know why none of this is in Spinatron. None of this makes any sense at all. I've been pressing these buttons forever, and there it is. Now I find it. There was a story I came across that I would highly encourage you to check out. This was on CNN, and it got crossed over to CBS Boston, which is where I came across it. And it's a sort of story that you would probably skip over and never read, but it says a heck of a lot about what's going on in our economy right now and what's going on with our food. And those are things that should be of great interest to everybody. And it has to do with Costco and chicken. And this is from CNN. And the headline is, it's only $4.99, but Costco's rotisserie chicken comes at a huge price. I'm going to read you a couple of excerpts from this. And again, if you look up Costco chicken in Google, you will find the entire article. It's a little on the long side, but I highly recommend that you read it, because this is one of those rare bits of actual good journalism that tells you a bit about the world that you live in and tells you a bit about why things are the way they are and why certain things happen. And so they begin with this. At the back of Costco's stores, past the televisions, jewelry, jumbo-sized ketchup jugs, and tubs of mixed nuts, is one of the retailer's most prized items, the rotisserie chicken that costs just $4.99. Now, I'm going to interject here, because I used to love going to Bertucci's or going to other restaurants and getting like a roast half chicken, right? Roast half chicken with some rice and some vegetables or some stuffing and some vegetables. That is a great meal. It's a really, really great meal. Restaurants don't serve roast half chicken anymore. You find me a restaurant that's got roast chicken on the menu. You can't get it anymore. You know why? Because there's so much rotisserie, because Costco and Market Basket and all these places will sell you a whole rotisserie chicken all day long. And it's cheap, and people buy them, and they bring them home for dinner, and they have them on a Tuesday night. So when you go out on Saturday or Friday night, you're not excited by a roast chicken anymore. Roast chicken used to be a lot. Roast chicken is hard to make. It's hard to roast poultry. And now that the supermarket does it for you, on your way home from work, pick up a whole chicken. Here's dinner for the family. You know, grab a little container of stuffing to go with it. Grab a little container of fresh vegetables to go with it. Maybe grab the chicken pot pie. The point is, you can't get roast chicken in restaurants anymore, and I miss that. Cheap Kirkland signature rotisserie chickens aren't only a quick way for families to get dinner on the table. For Costco, the chickens are a lure, pulling customers into stores and getting them to browse the aisles, adding sometimes hundreds of dollars worth of items to their shopping carts before they pick up that bird. The chickens have become almost a cult item. 91 million were sold last year, double the number from a decade earlier. They have their own Facebook page with nearly 13,000 followers. So Costco is willing to go to extreme lengths to keep its chickens at $4.99. For the past few years, it's been recruiting farmers for this moment, the official opening of a sprawling $450 million poultry complex of its very own in Nebraska. It's a highly unusual move for one of the world's largest retailers. Costco will control the production process from farm to store, making key decisions down to the grain chickens eat and the type of eggs hatched. Costco has even put its socially conscious corporate reputation on the line, fending off local critics who have rallied against the Nebraska operation. This is a big experiment not only for Costco, but the broader industry as well. Retailers will be watching Costco's plan closely. It's one of the largest scale tests of a store's ability to become its own meat supplier, and there's no guarantee it will work. And they go on to talk about how the rotisserie chicken at $4.99 is such a staple for Costco. 91 million of them that they've sold. 91 million rotisserie chickens were sold in 2018, okay? That is one rotisserie chicken for about every 3.3 people in the United States of America. That's insane. It's yeah, about every 3.3, every 3.5 people, which means there is an above average chance, a well above average chance, that you ate a Costco rotisserie chicken at some point in the last 2 years. This is what is keeping the business going. This is what's happened to retail in the digital age. Because at a time when everyone is going out and buying things on the internet, well, here's what Amazon can't do. Amazon can't sell you a hot rotisserie chicken. Okay? They can't ship it to you fast enough. You're not going to press a dash button and like a rotisserie chicken shows up at your door. You still have to go out and get that. Right? So it used to be rotisserie chicken was this big treat when you went out to a restaurant. Now, you pick it up on your way home from work at Costco, so you have a no-cook, no-labor dinner for the family. Oh, and while I'm there, I'll pick up some soda, and I'll pick up some cookies, and I'll pick up some diapers, and I'll pick up a few other things that I need. So Costco has figured out their key to success is a $5 rotisserie chicken. And in order to keep those chickens at that price, they're investing $450 million to become their own poultry supplier. And they will be, this isn't going to account for 100% even of their poultry. This is only going to be about a quarter of the poultry that they go through every year. But it is going to make them a major player in the chicken business. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with this, because for Costco, the reason that you do this, and I mean, think about it, they invested nearly $500 million in this chicken plant, because that's how critical it is to their business. Because their strategy to fight Amazon is rotisserie chicken. Rotisserie chicken keeps everything going. That's why I recommend that you read this story. It is a fascinating look at the forces that are shaping the food that we eat and the places that we shop in America in 2019. This is the sort of thing that would dovetail beautifully with our annual Salute to American Holiday Consumerism. Maybe we'll see if there's a special on Costco chickens this Black Friday. But that's coming up in a few weeks. For now, that's about all the time that I have. Stick around for On the Town with Mikey D, and until next week.